Harley, tell me something most people don't know about you that makes its way into your work.
Nobody really knows that I produced a children's indigenous cartoon. It's a free cartoon on YouTube called Stories from the Prairies. I produced it. We did all the animation and we hired elders to lend us their stories and we animated it.
Oh my gosh.
We've been doing it for a few years now. We're getting a little bit of traction, but...
So, okay, wait. Is it a series of stories? Like, what does that look like?
We have 8 stories out on YouTube right now. We're looking to produce another season of it just because I think it's important that our traditional language is paired with our traditional stories because we are very much storytellers within our traditions. And I wanted to really capture our elder stories in a way that resonates with children. And so we use animated characters. We have animated people and the animals are animated in a very friendly way, and we just wanted to have something that my son or somebody's 5-year-old can look at that and say, hey, I enjoyed that story.
I love that you're using technology and then also using stories and bridging that so that people can see it and they can engage with it. What sparked that idea to do this?
My son had a question one day. He wanted to know more about our traditions, and I didn't have a very good answer for him because I'm one of those that left the traditions quite a few years back, and I'm now getting really back into it. I'm going through my journeys again. It was just the fact that I didn't have a clear answer for him. And so I did some research. I started looking into this, and I started looking into what resonates with children the most. And a lot of it is colors, animation, visualizations. And I wanted to really develop something around that. Do I have any background in that? No, it was a very challenging project, but we did it and we got a great product out of it.
Oh, do you have interest in the Cree language?
Yeah, and that goes back to my son. He had questions around our language and I didn't have a very good answer because I didn't know my language very well. I knew some words. I know the words that my dad has called me. And so...
Good words, right?
Yeah,
good words?
Good words, yeah.
Good words, yeah.
Good words. But I wanted to learn more because I think it's important for our youth and it's important for myself as an Indigenous entrepreneur to really embrace myself in that culture. And so we started a website called aboutcree.ca that we paired with our children's cartoon. And we had an elder that lent us some words. So we have words out in there. And this was back when we didn't have a whole lot of resources. And now I'm finding a lot more resources, which is so great. And I'm hoping to see more and more resources out on the internet, how to say certain words, what are dialects. I've learned we got about 36 different ways in languages in Cree, but that's true for a lot of different of our languages.
True.
And I wanted to learn more and I wanted to have a resource so other people can go to and also learn that with me.
Are you fluent in the language or do you find yourself wanting to speak it more?
I'm getting better. Like any language, it takes a little bit of time.
For sure.
Especially in a language with so many dialects. So where do you choose to learn? I do try to speak as much as I can with other language holders or other language keepers. They get a little squinty eyed at me and some of my pronunciations. But
that's okay. You're trying though.
Yeah, they help me. They correct some of it. We don't translate very well from our language to English. And so from an English speaking perspective, it's really hard to kind of translate it in my head. So I really have to forget what the language I was raised in and really embrace the new one to develop that. Because we don't have words for everything. We have descriptions. And so describing the thing that I'm trying to say is a challenge. But I think it's so important that we learn that and we bring that into our day-to-day lives, especially from our communities.
It seems like your son is the source of a lot of your ideas and a lot of things that you're going after in life.
Yeah. From a 5-year-old perspective is someone who really just wants to know something about the world. They're so curious. And when you become an adult or you become my age, you become less and less curious. And I think my son just really keeps that motivation for me to really look into these things and things that I never thought about before, because he will say the weirdest thing. And I was like, you know what? You're right. That's something I want to know more about. And I took him to his first powwow. He was a little scared because of the drumming.
Yeah.
But he also started asking questions about the colors, the dancing styles, the drumming patterns. And so now what we're doing for the Cree language project is we're putting up a segment on those drumming patterns. So why are they meaningful? Why do they tie into our language? And so I want to put that up. I want to showcase that to the world because my son, again, in his curious little mind, brought up something that I didn't really think about within that area of work.
Yeah, good on you for listening to those questions and looking at ways to respond. Can you dive into a little bit more about the Cree Language Project and what you're doing and what's the vision for it?
Yeah, it comes back down to a bit about my son, but also back into entrepreneurship. When we think about our communities, we think about our markets, and we think about negotiations around those markets. And if you go to another market, for example, if we go out to China for to go negotiate new business deals, we would need to know something about that culture. We need to know something about that language.
Yeah.
And I think that same concept is so important to back to our communities. When people want to negotiate with us, they should know a little bit about our culture. They should know a little bit about our traditions, and they should know a little bit about our language. And that's really where about Cree.ca, I see it in a way that it's a tool that can be used to kind of learn a little bit of that. We're not creating experts, but we're creating something that somebody can use it as a resource to help with those communications back into our community, but also for a community to communicate within there.
You're an entrepreneur. You have lots of ideas. What are you currently working on? I already hear two projects, but it sounds like you're working on a lot.
So we are working on Etowin Business School.
Wait, say that again.
Etowin Business School. So Etowin is a Cree word that translates more into how we do things or the way we do things. The reason why I started Etowin Business School was more out of the education of business, first of all, but we were developing a strategy company to help Indigenous entrepreneurs. And I found over the years that there was some fundamentals that were just missing in our communities. And that's access. And that's not just access, but the education around that access. A bunch of us who are very passionate in teaching and training and learning new things, we've got together and we started Etowin Business School, where focus in on our communities, but we're focusing on our communities in a way that teaches business, marketing, scaling. What does that look like? What does that look like for venture capital? What does that look like for banking? And how do we tie that all into our community so we can uplift our markets on from the ground level? Mm-hmm. But what about the entrepreneur who wants to develop an AI company, or who wants to develop something to help with our housing projects? And how do they have access, and who do they talk to, and who do they fall back on? And so we really want to develop that resource for them.
What does it look like when you're looking at Indigenous culture and the teachings and the traditions of that, and then you have business? Is there any overlap? What does that look like? Because I know that can sometimes be a struggle, because ultimately sometimes we're also talking about capitalism. And so how do you blend those two in when you're looking at your business school?
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest overlaps that I've seen is our storytelling. How do we storytell our business in a way that resonates with our community, but also resonates with the markets outside of that community?
Yeah.
We talk about capitalism and we talk about market shifts in those areas. But when you know how to tell a story about where our community comes from and why we're doing the things that we're doing, and who you're trying to target within those markets and help bring them in, I think that's important in a way that it helps educate those other markets that are not normally within our communities. And having that kind of tradition around it is important, because it teaches us unity, it teaches us storytelling, but it also teaches us that everybody's welcome. I've been to many communities, and I've been to many startup conventions.
Me too.
And what I found was everybody's very welcoming in their own way, and understanding how to tell people that, hey, I have this background, I'd like to bring you through that. And I find that people like to learn those things.
Yeah. What's a moment from building any of your ventures that still sticks with you? You know, like that aha, it's a memory that you have.
Oh, I have quite a few of those.
I know. That's a loaded question, hey? Yeah.
I have developed quite a few businesses throughout my life, but I think my aha moment was I started my first business when I was 13. And one of the reasons why I started that business was I come from not the greatest family, and I was homeless at age 13.
Wow.
And I really had to make a very adult decision at that age and where I wanted to be in life. And I figured out business, because it was such a low barrier of entry, because when you start a business, you can kind of do whatever you want to do things.
Yeah.
But taking that example, taking that memory into my new businesses, my aha moments are always come back to what am I trying to solve and what is that struggle behind that solve? And I always come to a conclusion that this is hard, but I want to do it because I want to bring up the next person behind me in this. My aha moments are always who can I help and who am I helping or who came to me for that help? And then there's my son who says some random stuff. I'm like, I'm going to do that.
If you could snap your fingers then and launch one new initiative tomorrow, no funding barriers, what would it be?
Oh, it would be a fintech dedicated to our communities. Banking and financial sovereignty is extremely important.
Huge.
Having education around financial literacy is so important because once you're able to live a life that is clear of stress, financial stress, you build things within your community. You add back to your community. You're able to do a lot more for the people around you. And that's true for any place in the world. But I think for our community where we don't have as much access to those resources or to that education, if I were to snap my fingers and have absolute ability to do this, it would be a fintech dedicated directly to that cause.
Amazing. So where can people find you?
Oh, on LinkedIn, Harley Quarterpat. I'm very active on LinkedIn. And if you go to Edowin.com is our Edowin Business School. You can always get a hold of us that way as well.
Okay, spell it for everybody.
IHTIWIN.com.
Perfect. And how do they check out that amazing cartoon that you were talking about?
Oh, Stories from the Prairies. Go to abelcree.ca and click on the stories and you'll see our cartoon.
Harley, any final thoughts, anything that you want to share?
Sure. If you're an entrepreneur who is looking to build and you're not too sure if you have that background to build, my advice is just do it. The fake until you make it is a very true thing, but when you fake to make it, you're always learning. You're putting yourself in that position to learn that vertical. And I see entrepreneurs all the time who are like, I want to do this, but I'm not too sure if I can do this because I don't think I have enough knowledge. Just do it. You'll get that knowledge. You'll build that knowledge as you do it.
Yeah, I'm a big believer that tech has opened the doors for entrepreneurship too. There's also an incredible amount of support organizations in Alberta alone for entrepreneurship.
Absolutely.
But then when we start to talk about AI, I think that has removed barriers for so many people to be able to be in entrepreneurship because you can find out the answers where before it was very gated.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it was gated. So it kept so many people that already faced barriers out of it. And now I really feel with technology and however it's happened, that those barriers are starting to get knocked down and it's becoming a little bit more of an open place, plus all the support that Alberta has for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of supports out there. Business Link is a great one that's has helped me in the past many, many times.
Me too.
Women's Entrepreneurs is another one here.
Yeah, Alberta Women's Entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that's the one. And so that's helped out a lot of women, especially Indigenous women who are looking to get into business as well. And then back to the ChatGPT, back to AI. It's great as a tool.
Yeah.
So remember, it's a tool.
It's a tool. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
It's not something to take over, but there's just so much help out there for an entrepreneur.
Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it. This was a wonderful information.